This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Today, we've got something new and special and sexy for our Spilled Milk audience.
Molly, what is that voice you're doing? It's very scary to me.
Well, you are about to learn more about this voice I'm doing. You are. Stay tuned, everybody. Today, we have for you the first episode of a new limited series podcast that Matthew and I are doing with producer Abby. Say hi, producer Abby.
Hi, producer Abby.
And it's called Dire Desires. It's a show about life lessons from classic erotic thrillers.
Our favorite genre of movie, and we can't wait to share it with you. So if you like what you are about to hear, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Dire Desires, life lessons from classic erotic thrillers. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
And I'm Abby Circotella. So our movie today is Body of Evidence, starring Madonna and Willem Dafoe. How'd you guys feel about this movie?
Kind of loved it.
Where to begin?
Well, we can begin with the synopsis and you guys
jump
in where appropriate. This movie opens with a panning shot through a gorgeous house during a storm. And we hear lots of sex noises, or as my husband was calling them, zoo noises.
Totally. And, can I say something about this house? I've been there. Not only have I been there, but yes, it's the Pittock Mansion in Portland. It's like one of Portland's best known tourist sites, like that you'll see in, if you pick up a Portland guidebook, it'll say, go to the Pittock Mansion. It's like a big ass old house that you can visit. And that's where they filmed it.
Oh my God.
I think I went there on a school field trip.
Just as an aside, so we're talking about Portland, Oregon. I find it so baffling that they decided to set this erotic thriller in Portland, Oregon. Like,
I know.
Like, did they take bids from lots of cities like the Olympics and Portland was the best deal?
I assume so. I grew up in Portland and I remember when they were filming this movie, I was in high school. This was like top of the headlines every day. Like Madonna is coming to Portland to film a sexy movie. People didn't know what to do with themselves for weeks.
Madonna is naked in our city today.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I can't remember any like significant outdoor scenes like this could have been anywhere, right?
There was one part where they started driving across one famous Portland bridge. I mean, famous if you live in Portland, and then cut to inside the car and they were going across a different bridge.
So B-roll.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Okay, I'm glad you caught that.
Yes, basically they got lots of Portland B-roll.
Oh, I can't believe they just didn't use Portland as like another character in this movie. I think it would have been stronger for it.
Is it the Pittock Mansion?
That's right. Molly's planning a trip.
I am. Getting out my brochure right now.
We should go there on our corporate retreat.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, can I continue on our synopsis?
Please.
In this mansion, we hear zoo noises and immediately see a homemade sex tape with Madonna naked riding somebody. Pan over and see old guy dead, eyes open in the bed.
So guys, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I didn't realize he was dead.
His eyes are open.
I know. I was like, wow, he has a long time between blinks. I just did not even notice that he was dead until in the next scene.
Well, I never knew, Molly, why you got fired from your job as the coroner, but now it's starting to become clear. Wow, there's so many sleepy people at work.
You're so quiet.
Oh, everybody seems really cold. We should turn up the heat in here.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, yeah, guys, I think I just thought there was a guy lying there handcuffed to the bed watching porn and just couldn't take his eyes off the screen.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, she was super hot, so I get it.
Yes, she looked really good.
Oh, yeah, she looked terrific, but also was, like, gyrating in a way that was, like, sort of not quite human, I would say.
Yeah, zoo noises, guys. It was, like, flailing about, very animalistic. Okay, so this older guy dies in his mansion while watching his homemade sex tape. Madonna is the mistress. We are introduced to our co-lead, Willem Dafoe, as her lawyer. They decide that the best place for them to meet is at the funeral of this guy.
Definitely.
Madonna is arrested eventually for murder.
Wait, really quick. How did Willem Dafoe wind up at the funeral?
Oh, I don't know.
That's where he was meeting his client. I don't know.
Was he a mourner? You think they had planned to meet up there?
Yeah, I think Abby's right. I think she called him and said like, I need to hire you as my lawyer. Why don't you come meet me at the funeral of the guy that I may or may not have killed?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm with you now. Okay.
Starting a string of very unprofessional meeting places.
Yes.
To say the least.
So Madonna is taken in for questioning and then immediately arrested for the murder of this man, even though it sounds like they have no evidence, no eyewitnesses, no DNA, nothing whatsoever to tie her to the crime except for she was on the sex tape that he was watching when he died.
Right.
Maybe her body is the evidence. And then basically for the next bulk of this movie that felt like it went on forever, I paused it 3 times and I still was less than 40 minutes in. There's a lot of overacted courtroom scenes with lots of yelling because there's no tension or anything exciting happening in these courtroom scenes. So they just yell a lot.
Abby, I don't think you're being fair. Like, I've been to court and most judges are very much like that judge.
Like a mom?
Yeah, like a mom who has just like had it, like, you know, my kids have been out of school for 2 weeks and I'm not taking this shit anymore.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be like, all right, you two, I'm going to have to separate you. I used to get that at slumber parties. Did your moms used to do that?
Oh, definitely.
Like if we wouldn't stop giggling, like once we were in bed at night or something, like, all right, you two stop giggling or I'm going to have to separate you.
Also, Molly always suggested playing a game of coroner.
You did. Just lie very, very still, still with your eyes open.
Horrifying. You got in a bunch of kids just laying still.
Guys, I can't wait for our next corporate retreat when we can go recreate this scene slumber party style at the Piddock Mansion in Portland.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be classic.
All right. So in between all these overacted yelling courtroom scenes with the sassy judge, who was my favorite character in the whole movie, Madonna and Willem Dafoe basically start their affair where they have sex in various different places. They think the first very drawn out sex scene starts on the stairs. Is this the one that starts on the stairs?
I think that's right.
And then ends up in the bedroom with lots of candles and the fire lit, which who lit all those fiery things?
Question.
Do you mean candles?
The fireplace and the candles, all those fiery implements.
Together, all those fiery things.
Fiery things. Mm-hmm. But
that was the working title of this movie, Fiery Things.
They have sex and it's very crazy and kinky because she pours wax on his chest.
I remember people talking about this like when the movie came out that like this blew people's minds. No longer seems very mind-blowing.
Oh, I want to talk more about the sex in a minute, but let's finish the synopsis because I don't want to get distracted by all this wax.
I know. I want to jump in on that too.
Okay. All right. So they have sex. It goes back and forth between these crazy sex scenes and the courtroom scenes. Basically, Julianne Moore, who plays Willem Dafoe's wife, eventually finds out about the affair and she's mad.
Very mad.
One of the detectives decides to watch the sex tape that is evidence to the very end, and that's when they find the key to their whole defense, which is that the secretary did it. The secretary and the old rich guy were having an affair and she decided to kill him with cocaine. And then eventually Madonna decides that she needs to testify in her own defense. And a explains that her previous old, rich, heart-diseased boyfriend that she also had really crazy sex with that was putting him in danger at every moment. She's like, she was heartbroken when she found out that he was gay, and right. that's why she broke it off with him, not because he was no longer useful for her after his heart got fixed.
Exactly.
She gets acquitted and immediately confesses that she did the murder to Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, to be fair, like, I feel like I would do that too. Like, if I was keeping that secret, like, for weeks, although it did seem like the trial was maybe like 4 days long, if I was keeping that secret for weeks, like, once Double Jeopardy was in play, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I did it.
Drop the mic as you leave the courtroom. Be like, I think so. Bye.
So when the verdict was read and then the courtroom clears out and Madonna turns to Willem Dafoe, her attorney, and says, you almost convinced me.
Right.
Is that when she's basically confessing?
Yeah. Yes. That's how I interpreted it.
Okay. Like she, like you convinced me that I was innocent because that was his job to like convince them.
Right. Okay. Once again, guys, sometimes I'm so slow. This movie made me feel like, I don't know if it bored me so sufficiently that I stopped being able to receive information. But like, at the end, I was like, what? Anyway, go on, Abby. The scene that you're probably about to tell us about, I had to watch 3 times in order to understand what was going on.
Oh, the final scene?
Yes. Okay, Abby, tell us about the final scene.
All right, so she confesses and Willem Dafoe just seems disturbed. And so he follows her back to her beautiful houseboat just in time to hear her explain the entire plot that she had been doing. She had been working with her accomplice, the doctor, who was one of the witnesses before, and that was a whole thing before. When she sees Willem Dafoe, she turns on the bitch and she tells the doctor that she was fucking Willem Dafoe because I think this is when she says the line, I fuck.
Yes.
Which I loved. Maybe we should insert that line just somewhere in the episode.
We could do that.
So great.
Don't look so hurt, Alan. I fucked you. I fucked Andrew. I fucked Frank. That's what I do. I fuck.
Fighting ensues because they're both jealous over her. There's lots of running up the stairs and clothes ripping. And then there's a gun. Basically, at the end, the doctor shoots her twice and she falls out the window into the water. I guess the very end is the two lawyers commiserating over, like, this is Chinatown. Like, oh, this is women.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're always scheming. They're like sharks. If they stop scheming, they die.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the very end, we see Julianne Moore walking on the dock, seemingly having forgiven her husband for sleeping with Madonna. And that's
Wait a minute. I thought that was the Ann Archer character.
No.
No, that was the wife.
That was Julianne Moore? Guys.
Yeah, the wife.
Molly. I think I was actually brain dead through this entire movie.
You thought at the end of the movie, Willem Dafoe hooked up with the secretary?
It was the only other woman for him by this point.
The only other woman in Portland, apparently.
I just saw this woman with, like, kind of dark hair walking down the dock, and I just assumed it was Ann. I don't know why I thought it was the Ann Archer secretary character.
That's amazing. I wonder what your brain thinks about, like, is he moving on with her? Like, I love the idea that the wife has to forgive him at the end. Like, we have to still love Willem Dafoe and cheer for him. So yeah, that's Body of Evidence.
Woo.
What
I need a
rollicking
cold shower
ride.
And some hot candle wax.
I'm glad we did that synopsis so Molly can be a little bit more on the same page.
I learned things also, for sure.
I didn't realize there was so much that I missed. I mean, I knew that the guy was dead in the bed, right?
When they cut to the murder scene.
Well, right. But I figured it out when the detectives came in. And we're hunting around in his bedroom.
When the detectives came in to like check out the murder scene, check out, is that police jargon? Investigate the murder scene. There was this exchange that I absolutely loved where one of them held something up and said, what is this? And the other guy said, it's a nipple clamp. And the first guy says, how does it work? So my wife and I were sitting watching this movie like, how does it work? I mean,
it's pretty self-explanatory.
It's in the name.
Well, guys, this brings me to, I think this points me in the direction of my first life lesson.
Life lessons.
This this was a movie in which Madonna is portrayed as just being this like sexual aggressor. She's into kinky sex. Like,
right. Not like, normal sex.
Not normal sex. No. And so I found myself going like, well, what is kinky sex to these people? Like if I take all the sex scenes in this movie as a whole, like what is kinky sex? And here is my hypothesis. To have kinky sex, all you need is a man on the bottom, a woman mm-hmm. on top, plus one accessory.
Stop right there, lady.
Hold on.
Not
man
in my
on the
town.
Bottom, man on the bottom, woman on top, plus one accessory.
You mean like a diamond belt?
You need either handcuffs or you need a lit candle or a nipple clamp, but it, just one accessory. Woman on top plus one accessory. That's all you need for kinky sex.
The way you were just shouting, man on the bottom, woman on top, it sounded like you were in the midst of some sort of maritime disaster.
Women and children first, men on the bottom.
Men on the bottom,
keep,
women on top.
Keep calm and women on top. Just like that. That's what all those posters used to say. Keep calm exactly. and women on top.
Okay, Molly, I see your point, but I'm going to disagree about what's required for kinky sex because... Okay. The way I saw it, like, you know, he goes to her house and she kind of like jumps on him and ties him up with his own belt, drips candle wax on him.
And then she climbs on top.
Right. It seemed like she was sort of working off of a checklist, though. Like these are all the kinky things I know. And like in order to prove to him like how kinky I am and how much he's going to love it, I need to spring all of these things on him as a surprise in the middle of sex. That's very important. Always surprise people.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
My favorite thing that Ash does is when they get really close to me and they go, boo. That's my favorite.
That's your biggest secret turn on?
When we're having sex and they go, boo.
Oh.
Boo. So. And just like that, not loud or anything.
Just get up really close to my ear and go, boo. Oh, man. Yeah. Nothing gets me going more.
I have a question for maybe for all of us. Have you ever used your body as a deadly weapon?
I was going to ask you guys, too.
Because in the trial, like in the opening statement, Joe Mantegna, the prosecutor, says, like, you know, by the end of this trial, you will see her as no different from a gun or a knife.
I loved that.
Yeah, that made me feel kind of inadequate because it made me think, like, could I be like a gun or a knife? Because I do it so well. I don't think so.
The courtroom had like never heard of people having sex before. I felt like everything that they reacted to was murmurs and gasps. And like, I think that the mom judge even had to send everybody out at one point because they were yes. all just so titillated by
and
the sex that
And that's despite the fact that, as they say at one point, that the jury was warned beforehand that the testimony was going to be sexual in nature.
Exactly.
And I imagine myself showing up for jury duty and like having like, you know, a variety of trials to choose from. Like, do you want the sex? Trial? Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. That's how jury duty works. I've never done it before.
That's how it works. Yeah. It's kind of like a job fair.
Oh, great. That's good.
Yeah. You just want.
Oh, I'm excited for this whenever this happens.
A whole bunch of different lawyers who are tabling. And some of them are like, we've got some really violent material. Others are like, boy, do mm-hmm. we have sex for you.
Yeah. And then other ones, it's like this guy just has a lot of parking tickets.
Oh, man. But it's like this courtroom didn't realize when the lawyer said, it isn't a crime to be a great lay, what they were getting into.
That's true.
I loved that line. All right, my life lesson, men lie, but women lie better.
Oh, what's your evidence?
That's deep, Abby.
Yeah, because I think it was in the first interview with Madonna and the lawyer, who I guess I thought he was a detective at first because he was at the crime scene, but he was the prosecutor who just decides to show up to crime scenes every so often.
I was curious about that also.
Is that normal for a prosecutor to be like a first responder?
I honestly don't know. I think it is not normal, but I'm not sure. A first responder like a firefighter? Because that I'm pretty sure if a prosecutor shows up to put out a fire at your house, something is gone very wrong.
Maybe they're multi-hyphenate, you know, firefighter slash prosecutor.
I didn't mean first responder. God, guys, I am like seriously off my game today. Carry on.
That was what one of Madonna's comments during her questioning. And she just says, men lie, But then by the end of the movie, I realized that women also lie, but they lie better because she tricked everybody until the very end when she just decided to spill all
the beans.
That's
true. The men didn't get away with it, but she did. Well, yeah. Except for when she died.
I have a hypothesis in all of these movies, and I think this will be a life lesson for all of our classic erotic thrillers, that women will always lie better than the men because they're dangerous and not to be trusted.
Oh,
their bodies are weapons. Like,
that's savvy. I mean, I found myself wondering during this movie if we will ever have, of all the erotic thrillers we're going to be watching, will any of them feature a male killer? Or is that just like beyond the pale? Like, it's not erotic if the man does the killing. It's only if the woman does the killing. Because if a man does a killing, it's just like the regular news.
That's true. That is a good point. Like, there is like a real like man bites dog or woman lies, woman deceives dog thing going on with these movies. But
what?
I mean, we did watch, I don't know if we're going to air it as an episode, but we did watch Body Double, and the you know, conspirator killer in Body Double is a man.
Oh, that's right.
But that might be the only one.
Maybe that is the only one.
It might be the only one. Okay. May I offer a life lesson? Nothing is sexier than acupuncture.
Oh my God. That scene was steamy.
Okay, so can we just walk through this scene? In court, it's been alleged that she gave the dead guy cocaine, and that was part of what killed him, like a combination of cocaine and overly vigorous sex. But then she takes Willem Dafoe to like the Chinese medicine clinic that she goes to and reveals that it wasn't cocaine, it was powdered peony root that she was taking for cramps. Right?
Yes.
So then after explaining this to Willem Dafoe, Madonna goes into the back room where this guy gives her naked acupuncture. And Willem Dafoe is like peering through the screen, like at her ass getting poked with acupuncture needles. It was phenomenally unsexy.
Yeah. She's just behind like a wicker screen and you can totally see through it. She even sits up at one point. She's lying face down and she sort of gets up on her elbows at one point and turns and looks suggestively at Willem Dafoe. And that's when I was like, it is on. Acupuncture sexy time.
What also was quite disturbing in that encounter was that he was going to, like, you know, play the peeping Tom and like watch her do whatever naked thing she was getting done behind the screen. But he uses like the cat as his accomplice. Oh, there's a cat here. So I'm just wandering over to play with what he called the pussy puss. And I was not okay with that.
Wait, did he say that?
You guys, am I the only one who heard this?
I may have missed this.
I wrote it down because I was so angry. He says, "Here, pussy puss," and walks over and plays with the cat. And that's when he starts ogling Madonna. We have to watch it again now so you guys can catch that part.
You're right. Wow. We have to watch this movie again.
Matthew, that makes it even sexier.
It does.
Oof. Here, pussy puss.
Pussy puss.
That's the name of the episode.
Guys, I have another life lesson.
I'm
this
ready.
One was delivered by Madonna to Willem Dafoe in the car while driving across maybe one of the wrong bridges in Portland. All right, so here it is. Animals, when they make love, because as everyone knows, animals make love.
Yes.
What Madonna taught me.
Yeah.
Animals making love is intense, sometimes violent, but they never hurt each other.
I could not stop thinking about this line because in my head, I was flipping through every kind of animal I could think of and being like, yuck.
So guys, Ash immediately yelled at the screen, "What about the praying mantis?"
I knew you were going to say that. Yes.
Yeah. Ash like, was outraged.
When sloths, I was going to say make love, but the number of times they say make love in this movie,
love.
It's so gross. Do sloths do it in a way that's intense and violent?
Why do you think sloths?
Worms? I don't know, because they're like slow and like ponderous.
No, aren't ducks? I think ducks are like...
Oh!
This is so weird, but my parents live by like this little duck pond, and they sent our family messenger a video of 5 ducks on top of a girl duck recently, and I was like, this is duck rape. Why are you sending this video to us? I don't understand.
I think they also have like corkscrew-shaped penises.
I think so.
That sounds right. I think pigs do too.
No, I wasn't giving sloths. I didn't mean I thought sloths were like an especially like violent and intense mating ritual. I meant just the opposite, that like maybe if Madonna like went to the sloth area at the zoo, like she would have her mind blown by like the gentle sloth sex.
Yeah, she needs to watch more National Geographic because she really does. She was incorrect.
Yeah, I was disappointed by the zoological inaccuracies in this movie.
But the zoo noises at the beginning were very accurate.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sounded just like my last visit to the zoo.
Okay, here's my next lesson. And this one wasn't really a lesson to me because I grew up in Portland and everyone in Portland knows this, obviously. But at the county courthouse in Portland, there's a special floor of the parking garage that's only for sex.
Wow.
And the maintenance staff has to go in and like hose it down or replace the light bulbs once a day.
Yeah, I know. It was, so yeah, Willem Dafoe and Madonna have sex on the hood of a car after she has broken the light bulb above the car with the heel of her shoe. But then, guys, while they're fucking, then the camera cuts to the elevator bank, right? And you see the doors open and a beam of light shines out of the elevator and then the doors close again. It's like this movie is full of so many moments when like they're pointing at the wrong thing. They're like, something's gonna happen, and then nothing happens.
I thought that, yeah, I was puzzled by the elevator thing, and then I think I concluded it was supposed to like represent like a vagina.
Yeah, I wondered. I was like, why are they showing us this? It must be innuendo in some way.
I think the director was like, yeah, nailed it.
Oh God, he did not.
But like the donut, right? Is that what you were thinking of when it was focusing on the wrong things?
Oh yeah, that's another like cutaway, yeah.
Yeah, at one point a donut is offered to Willem Dafoe by the prosecutor, but I just felt like it doesn't land. It does not land at all. Did
what,
it land
the donut
for you?
Part or the,
yeah, the
or
donut. The donut part did not land. Did it land for you?
Like as a joke?
Yeah.
Because I did laugh when the camera focused in on the donut. I didn't think it was intended to be a joke, though. I just thought the director was hungry. Like, it made me want a donut. I guess maybe it was also supposed to be suggestive, like, because it has a hole in it.
They could have picked a better pastry, don't you think? No?
Such as?
Donuts are the sexiest pastry, I guess. There is a hole there.
Bear claw? Because, like, it represents, like, the savagery of like, animal sex.
Bear claw.
Yeah, they needed something animally. Monkey chow.
I think if the prosecutor brings monkey chow to a meeting, I'm going to be offended.
He also moonlights as a pastry chef.
And a zookeeper.
What's monkey chow?
Isn't that like Chex and like powdered sugar? It's like a snacky.
Oh, right.
I always thought that was called puppy chow.
Oh, maybe.
I thought it was called Muddy Buddies.
Oh,
no, we've stumbled. We've stumbled into one of these regionalisms.
Okay.
Can we go back to the big sex scene for a minute at her house? The thing I found myself wondering, like after because she drips candle wax like on his bare chest, and then she pours some on his dick, and then that's when she
but that was all off camera. You're just supposed to make assumptions.
I assume she poured it on his dick, and then right after that, she like climbed on. Was his dick all waxy?
Yeah.
That's all I could think about.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't seem great.
Well, I have to say, I thought that she poured it on his penis too, but then when she jumped on, I was like, oh, actually, no, I don't think she did. I think she just poured it like in his pubic hair, which is even worse.
That sounds terrible.
Can you imagine trying to get the wax out?
Yeah, that's why his wife got so suspicious when he got home and was in the shower for 47 minutes.
Honey, how do you get wax out of hair? Asking for a friend.
No, but guys, seriously. So Ash and I both felt very conflicted about the sex in this movie because the sex that there was, you know, like there was a lot of Madonna's body. She has an amazing body. I mean, I guess that's no surprise to any of us.
Sure.
It was
but
evident.
The scene. Nice. Nice.
Sorry.
The scene with the candle wax. I mean, the candle wax part, I thought I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fine.
But then when she gets on top of him and the camera moves so that there's like this thin, like transparent sheet between the camera and the two of them going at it, she looks really good. And there was like a little part of me that was like, I'm gonna pause the movie now. and go proposition my spouse just a little
bit. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's...
And then I kind of hated myself for it because I was taken in by it.
I mean, that's kind of the point, or one of the points that they're trying to make, right? By making an erotic... I mean, this is not an erotic thriller. It's an erotic courtroom drama, but...
No, I think so. But I think I just feel conflicted about myself as a person because...
This is not the podcast for that, but...
Yeah, that's true.
No,
that's
no, I understand.
No, that makes sense.
I was like, oh, I wish I weren't enjoying this scene as much as I am. Like, I think it was actually like a pretty satisfying sex scene for like, you know, an old movie with... two straight people, one of whom is not very attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, you don't like Willem Dafoe's giant chin?
Can we talk a little bit more about how Willem Dafoe got this role? Like,
do you have like facts or just speculation?
No, I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, so, you know, this movie has a lot of people in it who are recognizable faces. And Willem Dafoe, this movie has a lot of recognizable people and a lot of, I would say, recognizable like character actors.
Yeah, like Frank Langella.
Yes. Mm. Willem Dafoe is like a legit good actor. However, he does not have a face or a persona or anything to be in a sex scene with Madonna.
Yeah.
How do we think this happened?
I mean, I would say the same thing about Michael Douglas, who is in like every other movie that we're planning to watch.
But he has like charisma too. Like he has a sexy charisma or at least at that time, right? Does Willem Dafoe, is he known for his like romantic lead?
I feel like Willem Dafoe is like known for being a villain all the time. Whereas Michael Douglas, there was at least a period of time when some like, I don't know, small majority of American women thought that he was attractive enough that was like regularly showing up in People's like Sexiest Men or whatever.
I thought Willem Dafoe looked pretty good in the movie.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he really like fit in the movie, but yeah. I thought he looked fine. Like Molly, you said the big climactic like sex scene in her house kind of worked for you. Like you know, here's something more embarrassing than that. I thought like the scene where Willem Dafoe has sex with his wife Julianne Moore, that was the one where I was like, yeah, this is how I like to do it.
that's the only scene where a woman's on the bottom. But no, that was a pretty hot scene. Like, it was a really good sex scene.
It was.
Like, by any standards.
A couple of things. I think they had that scene, first of all, to show that he's, like, before Madonna gets to him, he's, like, a regular guy who does regular sex. And then, you know, she's gonna like, show him another way. I think in all of these movies, like, there's like, a fatal attraction template that they have to follow that, like, the main character has to be lured away from his doting wife by some sort of femme fatale.
Yeah.
His doting wife in this movie, who owns a very puzzling restaurant.
Yes.
Right? Well, what I was puzzled by, even more than the restaurant, was the first scene when we see their family together, the two of them and their son. I thought for a minute that it was like his girlfriend and her son. Like, I did not... Their relationship,
yep.
Julianne Moore and Willem Dafoe, they did not seem like married people, and he did not seem to know nearly enough about the restaurant to have it be believable that he's married to someone who owns a restaurant.
Right, but also the restaurant seemed like a very large coffee shop, but that also had a bar, and you never really saw any food. And
yeah, that too. Guys, did you notice? So, you know, as we mentioned, we also have watched Body Double together. But did you guys notice that the presence of men with like scarred faces seems very important in these films?
Oh.
Wait, who had like, a scar?
So the doctor toward the end, who is, by the way, so the doctor in the final scene, who it turns out was her co-conspirator in this murder, this guy is a forgettable and pointless character who clearly in the final scene, they're like, oh, we needed to tie up all these loose ends here. His role in the murder is so pointless, but he's got all this facial scarring. And I just found myself thinking about the dude in Body Double. I was like, is this something that's going to show up in every movie? Do we need to have a man with like a heavily scarred face in every movie as like the foil for
Molly,
our hero?
Let's put a pin in that and revisit it next week, because I don't know what the answer is going to be, but you know, we're going to watch another classic erotic thriller next week, and I am going to be on the lookout for Scarface. The movie we're watching next week is Scarface.
Oh, we just can't get enough of those Brian De Palma films.
Exactly.
Guys, did you notice how smoky or hazy the courtroom was?
No.
What it made me think of was, like, I think that every courtroom in every 80s and 90s courtroom drama had a very hazy look on the interior. Like, it's not a courtroom unless as the light shines in the window, it goes through like a fog of smoke before it falls on the room.
I mean, I think people were allowed to smoke pretty much anywhere back then. And also, like, the fog represents, you know, like, justice is going to try and cut through the fog and get to the truth.
Yeah. The light of justice will shine.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Here's my next lesson. I learned that people with heart conditions should not be having sex because their partners could be accused of murdering them every time. For people with heart conditions, I'm sure it's a really hard life that they live. They have to probably be careful what they eat, but they also just should not be having sex because their partner could be put on trial at any moment.
I would add to that and say they shouldn't be having sex because the body is a weapon, you know,
right.
Especially a woman's body. It is a weapon. So.
Well, Abby, I mean, you made me just realize, like, if I were kind of a sleazier guy, then I am, I would like try and put it out there that I have a heart condition so that younger women would like try and
all
like
the
fuck
kinky
me
ones.
To death. Like after, you know, after each encounter, I'd be like, woo, you know, my poor heart. Like, you know, let's, if things get even a little hotter than that, it's going to explode.
And imagine if I had some drugs right before.
Yeah. Do you have any?
Don't give me cocaine no matter what.
And definitely don't give me ice cream. Do you have any of that?
So she did set this whole thing in motion, and her choice of murder was sex and drugs. Mm-hmm. I wish there was some rock and roll in there as well. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she just wanted to drug him and sex him to death, but I couldn't help but wonder why she didn't choose a way to kill him that didn't put the suspicion upon her. She made it seem like it was part of her plan to put the suspicion on her.
That's a really good point, Abby. I mean, if she were really thinking about it, would she have left a video running in there of the two of them having sex? They would have never gotten back to her, possibly, if she hadn't left that video running.
Also, how did that video just keep running? Like, if you leave a VHS tape running, it doesn't loop.
That's so true. And all the investigators and also the prosecutor who were there investigating the murder scene, didn't they say that it like had kept going?
Yeah.
Like they didn't turn it off and they're like, we can't touch this because like that's interfering with the crime scene. How long do VHS tapes, how long are they?
I don't remember. Well, I mean, they can be hours long, but they don't just keep looping like a 3-minute loop of like Madonna gyrating on a guy.
You don't know what the VCRs are like in that.
The Pittock Mansion. That's a good point. I was going to say, like, I am definitely old enough to remember, you know, to have had a VHS, you know, VCR, but not a mansion VCR.
Yeah, that's a different beast, I think.
I guess like the what you get with a mansion VCR is it just automatically fast forwards to the best part of the tape and just plays that in a loop.
Yes. Yes. Guys, I have one last thing that I learned, and I think that I should say it because I think this is really a public service announcement. If you're looking to, you know, switch lines of work, if you're looking for something really lucrative, you should move to Portland, Oregon and become a gallery owner. It is so lucrative. Soon you're going to be able to buy a houseboat from which you can fall to your death. And it's going to be a beautiful death because it's going to be from your houseboat.
Like a two-story houseboat.
A death,
yeah, that houseboat was amazing.
That houseboat was insane.
Yeah, and that's the part of the movie that got me going, like, I wanted to have sex with that boat.
Yeah. It looked real
sexiest
spacious.
Part of
I just realized it sounds really weird if you call a houseboat just a boat.
No, it's a houseboat. You want to fuck that houseboat. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I thought you could like sail a houseboat around.
I thought you could too. You know, I think I thought, what else is the point of living on the water?
We've learned so much.
For like an RV, you can drive it around. So why can't you sail a houseboat around?
I know, right?
Wow, guys. So wait, I think Matthew and I roughly said like what we thought about the sex in this movie. Like, was this movie erotic? Abby, what do you think?
So I'm someone who is very analytical when I watch these scenes, and there were so many details that I kept getting bogged down in the details. Like you were saying with the wax, like where is the wax? What is she doing now? So she was very beautiful, but I can never see Willem Dafoe as sexy. I also was distracted by it. It didn't seem like what they were doing was that crazy until maybe when the student became the teacher and he did like the weird rape thing at the end.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
I wasn't a fan of that. I was angry about that. But then I guess they're trying to show that like
distressing.
This is what she was teaching him all along.
Yeah, she was smiling like I brought this out in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure people who are actually in like a BDSM community absolutely hate this movie to the extent that anyone remembers this movie.
What about the thriller aspect of this movie? Were we thrilled?
Well, I mean, I think compared to some of the other movies we've watched, like this one, the plot was not simple, but it was relatively straightforward. And so I felt like I was thrilled in the sense that I didn't get confused and just lose interest.
I think I was thrilled in the sense that, oh God, I feel like I'm outing myself for being so dumb. But I just, guys, I didn't see it coming. I didn't,
what?
I didn't pick up on the fact that she was the murderer.
Wait, stop.
Until the last scene.
Even
after her confession?
Did you get that she was on trial for the murder?
No, but guys, I did not get that she was definitively the murderer until the scene when the trial is over and Willem Dafoe goes to confront her at her houseboat.
So when she's spelling it out to her accomplice, even though they've worked it out together, then she has to repeat it to him. You needed that explanation. How fascinating.
I did, guys. I don't know what was wrong with me
Molly,
last night.
Molly, there's no way you're alone because otherwise, why would they have put that scene in the movie?
I mean, yeah. I think it was off camera that she describes it too. So like, we need to know what's going on here. They ADR'd it back in, I think.
So I was thrilled in that respect. I was like, oh, plot twist. Like,
oh my God. You guys are too loose with this word thrilled. This was not a thriller. There was no chase scenes. There was no suspense. There was no tension. The guy's dead. We know that she did it. They just have funky sex a few times. But all of the action is courtroom yelling. The most thrilling part were like the one-liners that the mom judge gives.
I love that you called it funky sex. Like,
me too. Now I want to...
vanilla. It wasn't vanilla sex. So.
Oh, man. I'm going to make some millet burgers. This is sex. Texas is going to be really funky.
Hey, it's Portland.
Wait, millet burgers are funky?
I was just thinking of like the co-ops like in my college.
Oh.
They were real funky. And there was a lot of like millet burgers going on there.
Okay, see, I thought you meant I want to rewatch all those scenes, but like with the sound turned down and playing like Parliament in the background.
Yeah.
By eating some blue cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, funky cheese.
Maximum funk.
Yeah, so anyway, it's going to be a no for thrilling for me.
So do any of us I don't recommend this movie.
I do recommend this movie.
It was so long.
I couldn't wait for it to be over.
It was too long, and like it did keep kind of like going over the same ground again and again. But
yes.
Like, you know, there was actual sex in the movie. Like, I don't mean like actual unsimulated sex, but like there was more sex in this movie than any of the other movies we've watched so far, I feel like. Maybe Basic Instinct. I don't know. I understood what was going on. It's, you know what it was? Like the people in the actors in this movie seemed like they were having a good time.
No, really?
No, yeah. I did
with,
not
with
get
the
that
exception
feeling.
Of Willem Dafoe, I thought everyone seemed like, you know, Joe Mantegna was like chewing up the scenery. The judge, one of my favorite movie judges.
I felt like Madonna was falling asleep most of the time.
Well, I mean, acupuncture is very relaxing. Why did Julianne Moore show up at the trial at the end?
I have no idea. This movie was like littered with pointless detritus. Like
it was
like, the bottle of like nasal mist.
Oh, I forgot all about
Julianne
that. Julianne
Moore showing up at the courtroom. Just there was so much stuff that did not need to be in here.
Even just like they show that he has a son at the beginning where the son asks the legitimate question, can you screw someone to death? And then the son is never seen again.
I guess he found out firsthand.
Oh, yeah. Why did they even show the son?
Yes, they showed he was a family man by having him interact with this kid he had clearly just met.
Doesn't he say something like, you don't need to worry about that yet?
Yeah, but you will. Let me just say, like, if Madonna wanted to lure me into the fourth basement parking garage, like, I would be like, okay, let's do this. At the moment she, like, broke glass and wanted me to lie on broken glass, I would be running for that elevator. Like, the elevator would open, and I would be running into it.
I mean, really, when she jumped up on the hood of the car, I really thought she was just going to unscrew the light bulb. Like, I
for what purpose?
I was like... Why you gotta break the light bulb? If you want to make it dark and you want to create a mood, just unscrew the light bulb. This was like a senseless act of juvenile daring.
But guys, whose car was that?
Oh my God, that's a very good question.
I hope it was one of theirs.
See, this is how I watch these scenes. I just think about like whose car it is.
Oh my God.
Like,
oh my God, if that was the judge's car, they are going to get the longest lecture.
Visit Dire Desires on the web at DireDesiresPodcast.com and on Facebook at Facebook.com/DireDesiresPodcast. You can donate to our show at DireDesiresPodcast.com/donate. Dire Desires is produced and edited by Abby Circatella. Music for the show is by Audionautics. Until next time, live erotically.